Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us. Isn't that good news? He chose us. And it's incredible because we always talk about being lost and finding Jesus. Well, if we were lost, how do we find him? He found us. But he chose us. He chose us to be saved. He wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be part of his family. He wanted us to be in the church. He wanted us to do ministry. He wanted us. He designed us. He put in each of us distinct characteristics, traits, talent, skill, for what he wanted us to do in his purpose, in his plan. And there's a lot for us to do. There are many different things for us to do. We can't all play instruments. We can't all sing. We can't all preach. But we all have a place somewhere, somehow, in the furtherance of the gospel, in the ministry of God. And he chose us. He recruited us. How many of you have ever been recruited for a job? Anybody? All right, several of you. I think of a story that Sister Coxwell tells. And she was at a grocery store. And she said to the cashier, just, you know, some people just have it. And some people just ring it up. And so this lady was just outstanding to Sister Coxwell. And she said, how would you like to come to work for me? And so she hired her. She was the manager. And so she hired this lady in. Well, then when Sister Coxwell left, I think she became the manager and went on to have a great career. And it all started with being recruited right then. Well, all of us have been recruited. God looked out and he chose us. We were chosen, verse 4. He hath chosen us in him. And then here's the key, before the foundation of the world. Not only did he choose us, that he looked down through time and chose us. He looked down and saw who we would be. He designed us. He saw where we would be. It was his design, his plan. And before the foundation of the world, he said, I want them. I want them in my work, in my family. I want them. Now, when you step back and look at it, you say, well, is that really remarkable? Because the truth is, God has a plan for everyone. God has a plan for each of us. Even those who are out there somewhere, not in church, not serving the Lord, not saved, God had a plan for them too. And God designed before the foundation of the world that what would be in their personality, what would be in their skill and traits. He made them. He made everyone for his purpose. But some have refused, even though they were chosen. Now, how many of us have ever tried to recruit someone and were turned away, turned down? No, I don't really want to do that. Well, see, in the same way, look at how God has chosen all of us, and yet so many have turned away, turned aside the desire of God, deciding that they would not be part of what God called them to be, that we should be holy. What did he choose for us to be? He chose for us to be holy. The word holy, what he's saying is, for his purpose. That we should be godly, that we should be set apart for God's use. So out of all the ones he chose us, and we accepted. According that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. That we should be without blame. In other words, that nobody could come up with anything about us. Nobody could look at us and accuse us of anything. That we would be blameless. Just like we talked about this morning. It's not a big deal if you see those blue lights behind you if you haven't done anything wrong, right? They must just be going after somebody else. Is that usually the case for you? Hopefully. But you see those blue lights, no reason to be afraid, no reason to be scared. They're doing their job. And if you haven't done anything wrong, you figure they must be going after somebody in front of me. Must be going to some other emergency. Now, when they pull in behind you and stay behind you when you change lanes, that's a bad sign. But to be blameless, God chose us to be blameless, to not have anything against us, to not have any accusation against us, to be blameless before him in love. He has chosen us. And isn't this great? that not only did he choose us to be holy, not only did he choose us to be in him, not only did he choose us to be blameless, but he fixed it so it could happen. He fixed it so that we could be saved, we could be in Christ, that we could be holy, set aside for God's use, and that we could be blameless, that we could have a life with no accusation that would stand, that we could be saved and we could live according to his way, according to his standards, according to his word, and nobody could say anything differently. He fixed it. He made it that way. Verse 5, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It made God happy to choose you. I don't know about you, but I can remember on the playground as a child, there was always that one kid left, right? Nobody wanted that kid on their team. Well, it's a fine story unless you were that kid. But look, that team, somebody said, well, okay, I guess we'll take them. With God, it's never that way. With God, it excites him to be able to pull us into his team, to pull us into his family. It's his good pleasure for us to serve with him. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the, look, it is a credit to God when he can take us as rotten as we were and as rotten as we sometimes still are and to say, hey, look at this one here. I chose this one. I saved this one. I changed this one. I've had an impact. You see, it's remarkable for God to take us as who we are and to make us what he would have us to be, to his praise and glory, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I love that, don't you? We are accepted, but how are we accepted? In the beloved, in Christ. We have no favor with God except in Christ. So for those who say that they believe in God, but they just believe that Jesus was a good man or a prophet and not Christ, not the Son of God, they have no favor with God. No favor with God. We're accepted in the beloved. Verse number 8. Oh, wait, let's go back to verse 7. In whom, Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You ever looked at something and said, well, I'd love to have that, but I can't afford it. But Jesus looked at us with all of our sin, and the blood was sufficient. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to forgive all of our sin, no matter how much we have on our record, no matter how bad, how rotten, how sinful we were, the blood is sufficient. Verse 8, wherein he has abounded toward us. He has abounded toward us. He brought his abundance, his treasure, toward us. Wisdom and prudence. Now, let me tell you this. Wisdom and prudence, the revelation of God. Look at what he says in verse 8. He has abounded toward us in all wisdom. It's not developed, it's a gift. You realize that God gave us wisdom and prudence when we got saved, without education, without development, without training. He gave us that knowledge. How? By giving us access to the Holy Ghost, by giving us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. So there are things that we know without studying. There are things that we understand without being taught. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, communicating with us. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that excite you? I can tell by looking at you, you're so excited. That's incredible that he can give us revelation by the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. There's more that we have received. God gave us something. When do you get an inheritance? When someone dies. Jesus died to give us that. It came by his death. And so we have received the inheritance of God, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It was his plan. Why did you get saved? Did you get saved because your parents wanted you to get saved? Did you get saved because the preacher wanted you to get saved? Did you get saved because somebody prayed hard enough? No, you got saved because it was God's will. God wanted you in his family. God wanted you in his church. God wants us in his work. He's chosen us. It's very personal. I think of when Mary saw Jesus at the tomb after the resurrection, not knowing what had happened. And she thought he was the gardener, and so she spoke to him as, "Sir." And then he said, "Mary." And everything changed. You see, he knew her name. It's personal. As we don't have a faraway God that's untouched. We don't have a faraway Jesus that's untouched. It's personal. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us. And he saved us. By his grace, he planned our lives. It was set that we would be saved. Now, again, there are many who have not received that. But it was God's plan that we should be saved. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Now look, God wants to be able to look at our lives and celebrate that. Give me an example. Anybody got an example? "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Oh Lord, please don't put my name in that sentence. "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" What was God doing? God was bragging on Job. God was bragging on him. He does the same thing with us. I know that's hard to believe sometimes, but look at what it says, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth." Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Now we got to share the word. We've got to share the gospel. We've got to share the message. That's how people get saved. They need to hear it. I was in a meeting the other night, church meeting, and a guy got up and he was talking about how people needed to get saved. There's only one problem. He never told them how. Never told them how. As I want people to get saved, they need to know how. And so we need to tell them how. By grace are you saved. Through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Why do I need it? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's going to happen if I don't get saved? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, that's how you get saved. Through Christ. We pray and ask God's forgiveness and he washes our sins away. We put our faith in Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe in your heart, how does it go? The Lord Jesus. And believe in that. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Simple as that. Even if I can't remember it, that's how it is. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now we think of seal, we think of Ziploc, right? Sealed. No, this seal is a different seal. That word seal means to impress. Maybe you've been to a notary and they take their stamp and they put it on that paper. That's a seal. Maybe you've been to court and got that seal on your paper. Or got married and they put a seal on that paper. Now, the seal of the Holy Spirit of God is, the representation here is like that ring. Remember the father gave to the prodigal son when he came home. And he said, put a ring on his hand. What was that ring? That ring was an American Express black card. That means he could go anywhere, any place in town. And all he had to do is show them that seal. And they had stamped that seal. And that was credit. Anything you want in the store for that seal right there. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed us. He put his mark on us. So what about that mark? That mark of grace, that mark of hope, that mark of love, that mark of faith. that mark of forgiveness. He's put a seal on us. People ought to be able to recognize when they see us, they ought to be able to recognize who our Father is, just like that prodigal son with that ring, because of the seal of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, that is which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. The earnest, right? You go to buy something and you say, well, I'm going to give you $1,000 down. That's my earnest money. And what happens if you back out of the deal? You lose it, right? That's my commitment. Well, the earnest. God has given us a taste of the divine nature. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, that's all you get till you get home. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit of God, and you can live on that, and you can experience that, and you can make the most of that, but you're going to get the rest when you get home. That's exciting. We already have the presence of God, the heavenly nature living in us as children of God because the Holy Spirit indwells us. That's the earnest until the redemption of the purchased possession. Hey, that's me. That's me. I'm the purchased possession. You, as a child of God, you're the purchased possession, purchased by God. And so that earnest money has been given. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Give. It's a gift. Again, wisdom and prudence. It's a gift. Now what happens if we don't use it? You ever had something you didn't use? Maybe a tool? And it rusted? And when you went to use it, you couldn't use it. And so we've got to make the most of what God gives. When we get saved, we've got to start exercising those things. He's given us the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He's given us that understanding. What happens if we read the Word of God? And I've told you this story so many times of how I used to study the Bible and run across something that was hard to understand. And so I would call another pastor, another preacher, and I'd say, hey, help me out with this verse. And we'd talk about it, and I'd say, okay, good, thank you. And I picked up the phone one Saturday morning as I was reading my Bible and came across one of those verses. And God spoke to my heart, and He said, hey, ask me. It's my word. And I said, that's a great idea. And so then I stopped calling everybody else to find out what it meant. I started just calling on Him to find out what it meant. Because He knows better than anybody. You see, the problem with us is sometimes our understanding of Scripture gets messed up by what people teach us. How many of us have had messed up ideas from what people taught us? Yeah. Why do you do it that way? That's just the way we've always done it. Why do you believe that? That's just what they've always taught. That's not good enough. What does it really mean? What was it intended to mean? Ask God. Look to God. Wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Him. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Look, that's not these eyes. That's spiritual eyes. Spiritual understanding. What's the world thinking right now as Israel is being bombarded? What are they thinking? Well, some think Israel's the devil. Some think, oh, what a shame. Those Palestinians shouldn't have been doing that. And so all these people have opinions. But what do God's people who know the Word of God, who know the plan of God, who know the workings of God, what do we say about it? We say, boy, it's getting close. It's getting close. Understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What did God want when He called us? What did God want when He designed us? What did God want when He chose us before the foundation of the world? What did God want out of us? Are we fulfilling it? Have we fulfilled it? Have we answered the call? That's the question. It's posed there. Our eyes are open. The knowledge, the wisdom, the revelations given, are we using it to its fullest? Finally, in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. God has given us understanding of His great power toward us. We can trust Him. We should know, as we said this morning regarding David, He's given us so much. And if that's not enough, He'll do more. We need to look to Him and not look everywhere else for our hope. Not look everywhere else for our solutions. Look to Him. Let's stand. God, we're thankful for Your love and Your grace and pray that You will draw us to You. God, we are so thankful as we relish in the idea that we were chosen, designed specifically, intently, according to Your good pleasure before the foundation of the world, that You chose us for a purpose. So God, fulfill that purpose in us. We thank You and we praise You for the wisdom, the knowledge, the revelation that You have provided. And we pray that You'll do Your great work in us. We pray, God, tonight, we are surrendered to You. We want to see great things through us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Dismissed.